This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. On the heels of a controversial spring session, leaders in the Wisconsin legislature are pledging to consider changes to state mining laws that would permit a proposed taconite mine to become a reality near Ashland in northern Wisconsin. The Pinocchio Hills Education Project is a statewide environmental group that's fighting the mine. Its president, Frank Kane of Ashland, is traveling wherever he can to urge people to stop changes to the state's mining laws. Kane was in La Crosse this week. I asked him to talk about his understanding of the proposed mine.
If the company's plan was carried out to fruition, it would be 22 miles long, roughly a mile and a half wide, and 1,500 feet deep.
Now, it's a big pit.
It's a big pit, a big hole in the ground. And that's would be put in one of the oldest geological structures that we certainly have around Lake Superior in northern Wisconsin. The Pinocchio Hills are located about 20 miles southeast of Ashland, Wisconsin, along Highway 77, which comes from Mellon to Hurley. And Highway 77 is built right along the Pinocchio Hills. And then it crosses Highway 13 in Mellon and travels down Double G. And that's the 22-mile stretch. Now, we're told there are billions of dollars worth of ore in the ground. Yeah, we have no idea.
And this is low-grade iron, too.
Well, it's low-grade. It's taconite, right. And the only way you can mine taconite is to strip mine. And these are the things that, as people begin to understand, they scratch their heads and say, well, wait a minute. You're talking a 22-mile strip mine going across northern Wisconsin, which actually bisects the Bad River watershed. And the Bad River watershed starts about 15 miles to the south of the Pinocchio Hills, flows into Lake Superior. Now, there are 70 to 80 miles of trout streams, waterfalls. All of the water there is either an outstanding water resource or an exceptional water resource. There are just no regular streams in that area. That flows into the Kekaugan sloughs, which are the largest sloughs, now we're being told, on the Great Lakes. Certainly the largest sloughs on Lake Superior. And that is the home of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Ojibwe. It also is the home of the largest wild rice beds in probably North America. That's what's at risk. The waters are one of the last places that the sturgeon naturally reproduce, the Lake Superior sturgeon. The walleyes go up and spawn. It's a beautiful area. It's probably one of the largest undeveloped wildlife areas, wildland areas in Wisconsin, and if not around Lake Superior. It's been a historic migration pattern for the pine marten. It's a nursery area for the fish. There are plants that grow in that region that have never been documented. And, of course, the birds that fly through and use it as a stopover as they're going north and south is just countless.
So as president of the Pinocchio Hills Education Project, does your group ultimately want to stop the project from happening, or would you like to see regulations that maybe go more in your favor for the company?
Well, as president of the Pinocchio Hills Education Project, we don't want to see anything happen. We have good laws in the state of Wisconsin, and we just want everybody to vote no on them. There's no reason to change the laws we have. When those laws were put together, you had Howie Stauer, Spencer Black, I think Russ Decker and others had proposed tremendous regulations, and that was debated and negotiated and hammered out, and the laws we have now were put became the law of the land under Tommy Thompson. Those laws are fine. Those are the laws that I think we can all live with. Well, when Gogebic taconite showed up, and probably the reason I'm sitting here, and probably the reason that local government and tribal government and county government hasn't absolutely gone off the deep end over this, which I think they eventually will in opposition. The first meeting we had, Matt Fifield, the project manager, nice guy, made the presentation that said Cogebic Taconite, or GTAC as it's called, would put the mine in following Wisconsin's stringent water regulations and mining regulations. Well, that was in January. And, you know, you have to take these things at face value. So we sat at the meeting and listened to it and said, well, I guess, you know, we'll have an EIS, we'll have a contested case hearing, we'll be able to go through this whole project. And that's the genesis of that web, or that Water's Edge webpage that we use to start collecting the information. At the same time, Cogebic Taconite, Bacillus aeree, and probably Caterpillar were rewriting the regulations. There's a 183-page document. It's on the webpage, Save the Water's Edge. Read the first six pages.
And the legislature is, now that they're back in session, is supposed to take this up.
Well, this bill was never made it to hearing. There were two or three hearings that were scheduled, and they were always canceled. This was this summer, or last fall, or last spring. The bill was just too egregious for anyone to support. It basically said that if you have land next to a mining company, a taconite mining company, they can dump the waste on your property. You have no recourse. They will declare eminent domain and pay you off. If you have a home on a trout stream or on a lake, you can't cut the trees down next to that lake. You can't haul in a bucket of sand and dump it down to make a beach. Taconite manufacturing was exempt, and they could go right up to this edge of a stream and dump the waste. That bill was not going to pass. I think that the arrogance, the absolute arrogance of industry to even propose that is what incensed most of the people in northern Wisconsin.
And you talked about some of the environmental concerns in regards to water pollution. And I'm sure some of that has to do with what do you do with all the waste? Some of that could contaminate the Bad River, which is a tributary to Lake Superior. I'm wondering if you can talk about other concerns in regards to water.
Well, you have the dust. If you're going to take the taconite, you're going to build a manufacturing plant, first of all, you have a very large structure that's being put in there. Then you've got a transportation system that needs to get the rock to that facility, and those pellets have to leave. I mean, they're just not going to magically end up in China. They're going to have a process to get there. That's going to have to be built. When you're finished with the taconite, you know, what I'm told is there's a lot of fine dust. What happens to that? Are we going to pile it in the Pinokies? Are we going to pour it? Where does this go? Because we have the 100-year storms, what, depending on who you talk to, every 10, 15 years now. That stuff could flood into the Pinokies. In a sense, this is sort of mountaintop removal. It's just that our mountains are a little lower. But as we start blasting the rock up, we're going to have the same amount of waste. What happens to the rock? Where is that waste going to go, and what's going to happen to all the minerals that are in that waste? Now, there are gold mines that have been up there, silver mines. There's a lot of anecdotal record on gems. Diamond pipes have been discovered, I mean, copper. There's no end to what can come out of the Pinokies. Now, we're just talking taconite. Now, if they're just talking taconite, are we going to end up the same scenario that was over in Flambeau, where they took the gold and ran? And we're saying no. You know, that can't happen. So plant surveys. Who is going to conduct the plant surveys? Who is going to find the medicines? I mean, there are elders that know there are medicines out there. And these medicines and these plants are very important to that ecosystem. You know, whenever you walk through the woods, you spend a lot of time out in the wild, and the smells change. Well, those smells are what comes off those plants. And they're very important, especially in a traditional point of view. They're very important to the health and harmony of those wetlands and to the highlands. We have no idea what's going to happen to all of the dirt that's removed. Are they going to pile it? Where are they going to pile it? I mean, this is on top of rock, and it's in the snow belt. Now, the snow belt in northern Wisconsin is really the snow belt. They get a lot of snow in that stretch, and there's a tremendous runoff. I mean, every year those little streams are swollen. So how is this water protected? Maybe we can protect the water in the Bad River, but what about the 60 other streams that flow through there? Where does that get counted in this process? All of that is just kind of diminished. Now, the Klein Group has never done any taconite mining. They've done a lot of other mining. And when we look at their record, we only have to go to Illinois and talk to the people who work with Heartland.
And they do coal mining in Illinois.
They do coal mining. They use a longwell mining process, but the land is sinking. And as the land sinks, good farm fields become wetlands, and they can't farm it anymore. And there are people down there that are absolutely distraught. Well, that's the coal that will come up to fuel this whole plant that's going to be run. So where is the energy? That's the next question. Where does the energy come from? So all of these infrastructure questions really never get answered because they never really get on the table. Because the way this process is unfolding, we started out looking at the laws that we thought were going to be followed. They're not being followed. The rewrites came through. They were rejected. And now laws are being rewritten again. Our governor has said this is a priority of his. Some members of the legislature, none of them that live up north, are saying this is a priority of theirs because somewhere along the line, they're convinced this is going to solve all of Wisconsin's economic problems. Well, it will solve a lot of problems, especially if it falls back on local government to clean the mess up. No thought's gone into this at all. It's just a knee-jerk reaction to going up and taking the natural system of thousands and thousands of years and saying we're just going to blow it all the hell up and we're going to start iron mining, and any problems we have we'll solve as we move through the process. You know, that's a good argument until you look at what happened in Japan and the same discussion came about with nuclear power. So we need to make the decisions up front. Township government, county government, tribal government, state government needs to decide what is the best. What's the best for the people? What's the best for that land up there? I mean, this is not a reasonable solution by any standards.
And you're listening to Newsmakers. My guest today is Frank Kane. He's the president of the Pinocchio Hills Education Project. He's visiting La Crosse this week to give a speech called Mining in Wisconsin, a Threat to Tribes, to Wild Rivers, Groundwater, and Lake Superior. GTAC has said that this project could create up to 700 jobs. So how do you talk with people in Ashland and Iron Counties where unemployment is very high to say that you're not in support of this project, where others might say, you know, I could use the work?
Well, I usually start with Basirasiri and with Caterpillar. And Basirasiri thinks that they can create a whole lot of jobs in Milwaukee and wherever else Caterpillar and Basirasiri have their factories. And they produce jobs to sell the equipment. The mine in northern Wisconsin is a convenient place to sell equipment. So what I say to these rocket scientists that are so concerned about the health and harmony and the jobs in northern Wisconsin, where have you been? Where have you been for the last 35, 40 years? Because all of a sudden, there's a lot of interest in the well-being for everyone that lives in northern Wisconsin. Oh, but by the way, we got to blow up the Pinocchio Hills to do it. And I think what's happened with the jobs, and jobs are important. I mean, there's no question about that. And we are actually working on some positions on jobs. We spent some time with the people from the Iron Range that have said, well, there's a reason why it's called Tower Sedan Schools. Because at the height of the mining in the Iron Range, Tower School closed and Sedan Schools closed.
What are those?
They're communities up in the Iron Range in northern Minnesota. And they're having a tremendously difficult economic hard times up there. And they have taconite mines that are operating. So I don't think there's a lot of, at least, data that comes our way to say this is going to really solve economic problems. The trade-offs I guess we'll put forth a couple of stories that I really liked, that people that have, we've asked to come and speak and testify. And a gentleman stood up and said, yeah, he says, I really remember what it was like. We had the mines before. Everybody had a nice car. We had a good life. And, you know, the mining left, and, things aren't as great as they were, but it's still a great place to live. Now when we get this new mine in, everybody will have good jobs and will have cars and maybe three or four snowmobiles and remodel their houses and just, he says, we'll all live large. But this time when they leave, the Pinocchios will be gone and we'll have nothing but a disaster. We're better off now. There's a lady that's talked about her two sons that left home. She said, you know, this is an economic depressed area. It's a horrible place to live. There's no work. There's no jobs. And we're all just half nuts for staying here. So she said, my two sons left. And I have two more sons. And I'm really hoping they go to college and they leave too and go out to make a life for themselves. She said, oh, by the way, my first two sons came back because it's such a great place to live, and said, we'll survive here. So if I get my other two sons out of here, get them downstate someplace living and working, they'll be back too. And she said, I'll have my family back. So I think there's a real sense that this is not a long-term solution to economic problems. And I think sometimes we really need to sit and decide what poverty is and who's really poor. I mean, when I drive to the cities, which I've been doing a fair bit this last few months.
The cities in Wisconsin?
The cities in Wisconsin, Minneapolis, wherever I go with the road show, so to speak. On Fridays, everyone's heading north. On Mondays, they're heading south. I haven't seen anybody in northern Wisconsin that's come to La Crosse to say, I got to buy a summer home. It doesn't happen. These things don't happen. So maybe we need to really sit down and say what's fair. Maybe we need to really pursue these ideas of the small-scale canneries, the small-scale milk production places. And they're all over up there. There's plenty of opportunity. We just need to put the same kind of resource, the same kind of energy, and the same kind of political clout into developing things that are sustainable as we are in developing things that blow up the Pinocchios. And that's where you look at the legislature and say, where you guys been? And who are you kidding? If this was Cudahy, we wouldn't be talking about flooding the lake shore. But it's a homeland of the Lake Superior Ojibwe. So somewhere along the line, someone shouldn't be upset. And they shouldn't get angry and get on a high horse when somebody raises the issue of environmental racism. Because that is a question that's on people's minds, and it needs to be addressed. And it needs to be addressed just like every other part of this process needs to be addressed. But we like to have certain non-discussables. What we can't say, environmental racism is proprietary, but we can say the water usage is proprietary. What kind of explosives are you going to use? Well, that's proprietary. Well, so much stuff is proprietary that we can't find out what's going to happen in our backyard. Well, that's pretty proprietary for us to allow you to come in and do it, because ultimately we are the ones that are going to pay the ultimate sacrifice with the Pinocchio Hills.
You know, here in La Crosse, we're a good handful of hours away from Ashland sure. County. Chances are that dust from the taconite is not going to make it into the Mississippi or the La Crosse rivers. So why is it that you're trying to get this message out throughout the state?
It can change your mining rules throughout the state. But anybody that lives down here next to a factory farm had better pay attention, because the next people who want the rules changed will be the factory farm guys or the logging industry, the paper industry. If we change one set of rules and we kick the door open, it doesn't end. It just keeps going and going and going, because we've established the fact that jobs are more important than the environment. Money is more important than clean drinking water. And we're going to ignore the future. Disrespect the past, and now we're going to ignore the future and say, well, this is for our immediate gain. That's not good leadership by any standard. I mean, those are roads for disaster. So pick a spot, you know. You go up the Bloomer in that area, they're taking all of the sand away to ship it down to Texas for fracking. The pressure on our resources is unbelievable. But, you know, I've been hearing about this for over 50 years. Had a high school English teacher and went to Glidden High School that lectured us on someday we were going to buy drinking water and someday they were going to come and blow up the Pinokies. And we laughed at him. You know, geez, you know, that's never going to happen. And he said, in your lifetime, it'll happen.
Does it have to be environment and nature versus business and economics?
Well, the way we structure everything in America, the way it is now, it almost has to be, because there's no middle ground. There's no place that anyone will say, no, hands off. You know, both of the Fitzgeralds, Jeff and Scott, are promoters of the mine. They both represent the area of Horicon Marsh. So we have suggested that they drain the Horicon Marsh, turn that back into a muck farm. Now, you've solved all kinds of problems. One, it gets them out of the North Woods creating their mischief, trying to blow up our hills. But it gets rid of the pesky geese. It creates employment and certainly will bring in developers. Now, I understand that draining a Horicon Marsh is ridiculous. But it's outrageous to think that we can blow up the Pinokies for a 30-year gain and that we'll be there forever. The highest peak in Wisconsin no longer will be Tim's Hill or Old Baldy or any place up there. It'll be a pile of taconite tailings that will be there leaching into our groundwater forever.
Frank Kane, is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
I would like to have everyone get on the phone, call their legislature, call the governor's office, and just simply say, no, we do not want to see the mining regulations change. And we need hundreds, if not thousands, of calls going into the legislature, to the legislators, and to the governor's office. Because the money that's being spent on the other side is just astronomical to get these laws changed.
Frank Kane is the president of the Pinoki Hills Education Project, an environmental group that opposes a proposed taconite mine in northern Wisconsin. He was in La Crosse this week. The company that wants to develop the mine, the Klein Group, did not respond to an interview request. In the coming weeks, we will talk with lawmakers and others about mining in northern Wisconsin. Coming up in the next half hour, a man who believes everyone could use more nature in their lives. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.